is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Millbury, Leicester, and Oxford. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, I will be reading recent articles about Auburn, Grafton, Millbury, and Sutton from a variety of news sources covering these communities. This is Arnie Wenske. Thank you for joining me. We begin with articles about Auburn. There will be a select board meeting on Monday, June 8th, 2026, beginning at 6 p.m. If you are able to attend in person, this meeting will be held at Camp Gleason, 261 Central Street in Auburn, or you may participate remotely by calling 872-240-3212, then enter access code 166-009-269. Once again, 872-240-3212, enter access code 166-009-269. The agenda is as follows. Item 1, call the meeting to order. Recording announcement. Item 2, Economic Development Committee, call to order. 3, Pledge Allegiance. 4, Joint Meeting with Economic Development Committee. 6:05 to 6:35, a discussion around Urban Land Institute TAP workshop presentation. At 6:35 to 7 p.m., there'll be questions and answer session. And at 7 p.m., the Economic Development Committee adjournment. Item 5, public comments. Item 6, community organizations. Item 7, presentations, public hearings, including public hearings, board vote on common vehicular license application for the Walk 360 located at 385 Southbridge Street in Auburn. Item B, public hearings, board vote on outdoor entertainment license application for Foodies LLC for Foodies Fest on July 17th to the 19th, 2026 at 385 Southbridge Street in Auburn. And item C under agenda 7, public hearings, board vote on outdoor entertainment license application for the Auburn Police Association for an annual family event on August 11th, 2026 at Lemansky Park from 5 to 8 p.m. Item 8 on the select board agenda, departmental items. The Auburn Fire Rescue Department board vote to apply for the Assistance to Firefighters Grant, AFG, for self contained breathing apparatus known as SCBA. Item B under agenda item 8, DPW fiscal year 26-27 roadway reconstruction update. Item 9, communications. Item 10, select board general items. A, proclamations and recognitions. B, gift acceptances in accordance with Mass General Laws, Chapter 44. Item C, board vote on reappointments for board and committee members with terms ending June 30th, 2026. Zoning Board of Appeals, 3-year term to expire on June 30th, 2029. Michael Marin and Megan Roach are the candidates for the Zoning Board of Appeals. Finance Committee, 3-year terms to expire on June 30th, 2029. Kevin Kennedy and Trevor Joseph Sansusi are recommended for this committee. Flag Design Committee, 1-year term to expire on June 30th, 2027. Stephen Consilvio and Micah Donald Cummins and Tristan James Fabian La Liberty are candidates for that Flag Design Committee. Item D under agenda item number 10, which is the select board general items, discussion and board vote to appoint a delegate and an alternate to the CMRPC for fiscal 27, 1-year terms to expire on June 30th, 2027. Item 1, Town Manager Delegate, Steve Chambers. Item 2, Town Manager Alternate, Andrew Hicks Coles, are being suggested. Item E, under Agenda Item 10, Board Vote to Endorse Conservation Restriction between Greater Worcester Land Trust and the Quinsigamond Band of Nipmuc for property on Ellie Way in Worcester that crosses over to Auburn. Item 11 on the agenda, Town Manager Items. Item 12, Tabled Items, Meeting Minutes for April 27, 2026, and item and minutes for May 11, 2026. And then Item B under Agenda Item 12, Member Items, Dan Carpenter, a discussion and potential vote regarding rent control to consider vote for one or a combination of the following actions. First, after discussion, any action the select board may wish to take. Second, this could be to hold a one or more public hearing with invitation to park residents and park owners. Items 3, create a subcommittee with members, for example, from the select board, town meeting members, business community representatives, and other town boards, such as the Board of Health. And finally, request the town manager create a committee. Item 13, onto the agenda, member items, 14, public comments, and 15 minutes, including May 26, 2026. And then adjournment is the final item, 16. And this was submitted by Ann Cavanaugh, the select board chair. The following announcements are from the Town of Auburn Facebook page, beginning with upcoming meetings and events. Monday, June 8th, as we have already discussed, the Economic Development Committee and the Select Board joint meeting at 6 p.m. at Camp Gleason. Tuesday, June 9th, Central Mass Metropolitan Planning Organization at 5 p.m. on Zoom. Fire Station Building Committee at 6 p.m. at Camp Gleason. And Planning Board at 7 p.m. in the Select Board Room, that all on Tuesday, June 9th. And then Wednesday, June 10th, Conservation Commission at 7 p.m. in the Conference Room 1 at Town Hall. Future events will include June 12th at 8 a.m., Auburn Chamber of Commerce in the Conference Room at Town Hall. And that are the events and meetings for the coming week. Next announcement from the Town of Auburn. Show your pride. Celebrate Auburn with the Woo Sox. Enjoy an exciting day of Woo Sox baseball. Every ticket purchased through this offer gives directly to the Auburn Historical Museum and Auburn Youth and Family Services. $5 from each ticket sold is donated. It's a meaningful way to give back to your community while having fun. That day is June 25th, 2026, starting at 6:15 p.m. It's the Woo Sox Town Takeover. Ignite your competitive spirit. Let's win at Pola Park as a community. Our next item from the Auburn, Massachusetts Facebook page, Independence Day Celebration Event Parking for June 30th. Locations, no street parking in the park allowed. Petticoag Church, accessible parking only. Sports and events, general parking. These are the white outline sections on the map that's attached. Auburn Mall, WRTA, and AA Transportation will pick up. And at the Senior Center, WRTA and AA Transportation will also pick people up needing transportation to this event. If you have questions about this event or want to arrange for transportation on June 30th, call 508-832-7720. Once again, that number, 508-832-7720, concerning the Independence Day, June 30th celebration. Our next announcements come from the Auburn, Mass. Police Department Facebook page, dated June 3rd. See Something, Say Something. Last Friday, May 29th, 2026, a passenger on a WRTA bus traveling through Auburn noticed something that didn't seem right. The person sitting across from them appeared to be handling what looked like a firearm and loading a magazine while riding the bus. To make matters worse, that same person appeared to be heavily intoxicated. Rather than assuming it was nothing, they discreetly texted 911. Auburn police officers located and stopped the bus, investigated the situation, and safely secured the individual involved. The individual was identified as 50-year-old Donald Westman of Worcester. During the investigation, officers determined that the weapon was a realistic-looking air-powered BB gun. But here's the important part. The reporting party didn't know it was a BB gun, neither would anyone else on the bus. From the passenger's perspective, a realistic-looking BB gun being handled on public transportation is going to cause alarm, and rightfully so. The passenger saw something concerning, reported it, and allowed police officers to determine what was actually going on. That's exactly what See Something, Say Something means. No one expects members of the public to investigate suspicious behavior. We expect them to report it. As a result of this actions, Donald Westman was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct on a public conveyance, disturbing the peace, subsequent offense. And if you see something that doesn't seem right, trust your instincts and report it. We'd much rather investigate a situation that turns out to be nothing than miss one that turns out to be something. The following article is from the Worcester Telegram Gazette, dated June 3rd. Auburn. A driver is facing charges after he claimed a carjacker was responsible for leading a police chase that ended with his vehicle crashing on Route 20 Tuesday night, June 2nd. Officers soon determined he had been behind the wheel and that the story about a carjacker was fiction, police said. Video footage from a nearby Taco Bell showed he was the operator, according to police. You have to give him some credit for originality, said Police Chief Scott Mills. The driver, whose identity has not been released, was first pursued by Sutton police along Route 146 before heading west into Auburn, according to police. He ended up on Southbridge Street at the intersection of Routes 12 and 20, where he crashed his car in front of the Taco Bell and KFC restaurants around 10 p.m. No one was hurt, and property damage to the area was minimal, Mills said. The incident was reported to police as a rollover crash. When officers arrived on the scene, the car was resting on its wheels, according to Mills. The driver, then located in the vehicle's passenger seat, told police he had been the victim of carjacking and that the assailants had fled on foot, pointing them in the direction of the supposed gateway path. Police dogs and drones were deployed in search of the alleged suspects. A short while later, an officer obtained surveillance footage from the Taco Bell, which showed only one occupant in the vehicle at the time of the crash. The driver likely moved over into the passenger seat after crashing, Mills said. Charges are to be filed in Central District Court related to the pursuit and crash. The driver will not face additional charges for lying to police, Mills said, noting it is not uncommon. This posting is on the Auburn Police Department Facebook page. What's on the schedule for our town Auburn Independence Day celebration? At 6:45, grand entrance, American Legion Tuttle Post and Vietnam Veterans at 6:55, opening remarks at 7 p.m. Dock 10. At 9:30 p.m., fireworks. Food, vendors, kids' games, rock and roll racing, and train rides. Kids' games will include a bounce house, obstacle course, and or slides. Rock and roll racing is a 20-foot track and with race cars, and everyone races each other with music. It's the 250th anniversary of America being celebrated at Dr. Arthur and Dr. Martha Pappas Recreation Center on June 30th at 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Rain date, July 1st, 2026. As had been mentioned earlier, free WRTA and AA transportation shuttle service pick up from Patrick Hoag School, Senior Center, and the Auburn Mall. No pets allowed at this program, service dogs only. For further details and parking map, please contact 508-832-7736. That is the Recreation and Culture Department, 508-832-7736. We'd like to thank our sponsors, WRTA, AA Transportation, the Auburn Mall, a Simon Mall, Bank Hometown. Next announcement from the Auburn Mass Police Department Facebook page. We would like to congratulate the entire class of Auburn High School Class of 2026 as they graduated on Friday, May 29th. We wish all members of the graduating class continued success as they begin the next chapter of their lives, and we hope they pursue their goals with confidence, determination, and pride in all they have accomplished. We would also like to extend our congratulations to our three Auburn Police Association scholarship recipients, Nathan Iaconia, recipient of Patrolman Stephen Lucas Scholarship, Selena Chivarek, recipient of Patrolman Eric Snay Scholarship, and Brady Johnson, recipient of the Patrolman Ronald Tarantino Jr. Scholarship. Congratulations to all of our scholarship recipients and best wishes for continued success in your future endeavors. Our next announcement comes from the Auburn Mass Fire Rescue Facebook page, dated Thursday, June 4th. Although the ground is technically already broken, it didn't stop us from taking the opportunity this afternoon to thank everyone who has been involved in bringing the new Fire Rescue Headquarters project to fruition. The town held a formal groundbreaking ceremony to thank and recognize our elected and appointed officials, town meeting members, the Fire Station Building Committee, and most importantly, the citizens of our community who voted to support this station. We can't thank you enough for providing us with our new home. The following announcement is from the Auburn Chamber of Commerce Facebook page, dated June 2nd. The Auburn Chamber will host its 64th annual meeting on June 17th at J. Anthony's in Auburn. The event's keynote speaker will be President and CEO of the Worcester Business Development Corporation, Craig Blaze, sponsored by Hometown Bank. Once again, the date, June 17th, starting time at 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. The cost, $20 for members, $50 for non-members, and it'll be held at J. Anthony's Italian Grill, 917 in Auburn. All events will be held at the Auburn Senior Center beginning with Tuesday, June 9th at 1 p.m. The Fraud Squad. Here's what you can expect. A unique twist on empowering seniors to fight fraud. It's not a lecture. A lively 60-minute fraud prevention session led by senior volunteers. Scripted skits based on real scam scenarios. Engaging educational format. Live Q&A and audience participation. Printed takeaway materials. These volunteer actors are portraying real-life scams, in-person mailings, emails, and phone call scenarios lifted from the headlines. These skits, which are written for local seniors and portrayed by their peer group, help inform and empower while remaining fun to watch. Once again, the Fraud Squad on Tuesday, June 9th at 1 p.m. Please RSVP by calling 508-832-7799. And also on June 9th, that's Tuesday, Men's Club, calling all gentlemen. Are you looking for a place to share your thoughts and experiences? free from the glitz and glam, free from the pressures to be in and trendy, free instead to enjoy simple, ordinary things. Join us on the second, this would be Tuesday, June 9th, starting at 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. And then on Thursday, June 11th, weird and mysterious creatures of Massachusetts. Everyone has a Bigfoot or two, maybe a huge panther lurking in the woods. We have them and so much more. Come to hear why a nice walk in the forest might not be such a great idea. And you don't want to miss learning about the Bridgewater Triangle. This on Thursday, June 11th at 9:15 a.m. by Siri Bittix, who is the president of the Auburn Historical Society. Thursday, June 11th, call to register at 508-832-7799. On Monday, June 15th, Stephen George, starting at 1:15 p.m. Stephen George is a singer-songwriter from Massachusetts. He began learning guitar at age 10 and was inspired by the music from a broad range of generations, including oldies, pop, folk, Christian, and country genres. His sound allows him to express the color, creativity, and emotionality of the songs he performs. You will hear a wide range of music performed with passion and excitement. Music to him is a gift, and he looks forward to sharing it. Once again, Stephen George on Monday, June 15th at 1:15 p.m. Please call the Senior Center at 508-832-7799 to reserve a spot. Also on Monday, June 15th at 12:30 p.m., there'll be a barbecue lunch sponsored by the Auburn Police Association and the Auburn Firefighters Association, along with the Friends of the Auburn Senior Center. Music at 1:15 with Stephen George, who we just talked about. This would be $5 per person for the barbecue lunch. Tickets available at the reception desk until sold out. For more information, call the Senior Center at 508-832-7799. On Tuesday, June 16th at 1 p.m., estate planning, probate, and Medicaid planning. Call 508-832-7799 to register. Attorney Dick DeGauer will discuss estate planning, probate, and Medicaid in this one-hour free seminar. A well-crafted estate plan ensures that your financial and medical wishes are carried out should you pass away or become incapacitated. It can also protect your assets and help you avoid probate. This generally includes a basic estate plan consisting of its last will and testament, durable power of attorney, and health care proxy. Some estate plans consist of trusts for various reasons as well. Attorney DeVau will discuss how these estate planning documents work together, how the probate process works, and strategies people use to try and protect assets in the event of long-term care. Once again, estate planning, probate, and Medicaid planning on Tuesday, June 16th, starting at 1 p.m. Please call the Senior Center to register at 508-832-7799. Tuesday, June 23rd, starting at 1 p.m., AI, Artificial Intelligence for Seniors. AI for Seniors, what it is, how to use it, taught by Scott Bader. Artificial intelligence, known as AI, is quickly becoming part of everyday life, from helping you write emails and find information online to organizing photos, answering questions, and even assisting with daily tasks. This class is designed especially for seniors who are curious about this technology and want to learn how it can make life easier, more convenient, and even a little more fun. Scott will break down AI in simple, easy-to-understand terms, no technical background required. Participants will learn what AI is, how it works, practical ways, and how to safely and confidently use tools like chat assistants and smart apps. There will be plenty of opportunities to ask questions, see real-life examples, and even try it out yourself. Whether you're brand new to technology or just looking to stay current in an ever-changing digital world, this class is a great opportunity to learn something new in a relaxed and supportive environment. Come discover how AI, artificial intelligence, can be a helpful tool in your everyday life on Tuesday, June 23rd, starting at 1 p.m. Call to register at 508-832-7799. The Senior Center serves lunch on a daily basis on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Lunch begins at 12 p.m. On Thursday, lunch is served at 11:45 a.m. Remember, if you'd like to join us for lunch, please make your reservations at least 2 days in advance. If you cannot keep your reservation, please call to cancel. $3 suggested donation, that number 508-832-7799, 508-832-7799 to register for any of the following lunches, beginning with Wednesday, June 10th, will be marinated pork loin served with cornbread stuffing and California blend. On Thursday, June 11th, barbecue chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans. And on Friday, June 12th, ham salad sandwich, pasta salad, tomato and onion salad. And then on Monday, June 15th, chicken stir fry along with steamed rice. And then on Tuesday, June 16th, beef bourguignon, garlic mashed potatoes, country blend vegetables. And then on Wednesday, June 17th, lasagna and meatballs, peas and carrots. Once again, please call the Senior Center at least 2 days in advance if you wish to participate in this lunch. 508-832-7799. The following article is from the Auburn News, dated June 5th, 2026. What in Auburn history would you like to know about? The Auburn Historical Society Museum would welcome suggestions about future articles that readers would like the volunteer staff to research about Auburn, Massachusetts, or an exhibit that could be highlighted at the museum. Is there a particular person, place, item or event that should be brought to light? Might you have pictures or documents citing or sitting in your attic or basement that may need more details as to their family or community significance? While you're doing spring cleaning or downsizing, think about the possible historical value to Auburn before tossing aside those items. Perhaps a visit to the Auburn Historical Society might be useful. The Auburn Historical Society and Museum is at 41 South Street and is open on Tuesdays and Saturday mornings from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. It can also be reached through their website or contact 508-832-6856. Once again, looking for ideas and suggestions on what in Auburn history would you like to know about. Our next article comes from the Yankee Express, dated May 22, 2026. Auburn Board of Health holds dangerous dog hearing. Inspection of 7 Coachman Lane discussed. The Board of Health listened to a report of a dangerous dog residing at 29 Cedar Street, which was presented by Animal Inspector Tanya Corbo. Corbo reported to the board that the dog's owner, Justine LaValle, is now in full compliance with the town's animal control regulations. The dog has since been licensed. The owner has paid all outstanding fines associated with the dog and has updated the rabies vaccine as well as microchipped the animal. Corbo also reported that there were no reports from neighbors that the dog had been roaming the neighborhood and that the animal has been secured in the yard. as far as we know, and that the dog does have a basket muzzle when she leaves the property. In the meantime, it took multiple visits to get everything done in compliance. On one visit, I went there with one of the town engineers to take a look at the property and the dog run, she said. Supposedly, the dog cannot be tethered. Corbo then presented a photo of the dog run to show the board. The dog run was measured to be approximately 170 feet to the neighbor's house and 208 feet on the edge. On Corbo's second visit to the property, she noted that the fence is possibly 12 feet high. It was also noted that LaValle indicated that the price for the fencing was unaffordable. The following news, information, and announcements are for the town of Grafton. We begin with the Grafton News, dated June 2, 2026, May 11th town meeting recapped. The town's first select board meeting since the tumultuous May 11th town meeting included a lengthy statement from town moderator Don Anderson, as well as some plans by the town administrator as to what measure the town will take in the future to deal with the challenges it presented. Town Administrator Evan Broussard said the town had received requests from voters for a formal review after the meeting. At the May 11th annual town meeting, more voters registered than could be accommodated in the space or with electronic voting devices, and a visitors section had not been planned to help separate those who could vote from those who could not. A proposal to adjourn, return clickers, and reassemble on another day brought ire from the voters, who voted down such a proposal and required the town to continue the meeting. Voters left the meeting place to re-register, but around 300 did not return. The May 11th town meeting began at 7 p.m., but ended around midnight due to the reassembling of the meeting and a lengthier voting process using ballots, as well as the number of items on the warrant and the number of speakers on the controversial items, such as the override budget. Anderson defends meeting procedures. Before the agenda item appeared on the select board agenda, Anderson came to the podium to read a lengthy statement about the events of May 11th. Our turnout on May 11th officially ranks among the largest legislative assemblies in the Grafton's history, she said. As we saw, that historic attendance brought immediate operational challenges. Anderson detailed the pre-existing planning, which took into account an expected larger than usual turnout. We didn't just plan for a typical spring town meeting, she said. We built an infrastructure designed to stretch. When the number of voters came close to exceeding capacity, Anderson took a brief pause, and the select board, town council, and the town administrator discussed how to proceed during a brief adjournment, creating a fire safety hazard, according to the town's fire chief. Looking back, I take full responsibility for how I communicated that to the floor, Anderson said. When I called the meeting back to order, I focused heavily on the immediate constraints of electronic voting. In my effort to explain the technical, I didn't fully articulate the broader public safety and voter integrity concerns I had, nor did I lay out the reset process required to switch back to traditional voting, halting the meeting, clearing the facility, resetting the poll pads, and re-registering voters. Anderson reflected on the large turnout of the meeting. This unprecedented attendance did not happen by accident, she said. It was a powerful intersection of two major forces. Those forces, Anderson said, were the interest of the electorate in the override and efforts made to engage the electorate. Anderson said she stood by the half hour of pageantry at the beginning of the meeting, which highlighted the town meeting's place in history during this celebratory year of 250 years of the United States. Anderson also outlined extensive efforts to build future engagement by educating students, 167 of which attended town meeting as observers, and helping students turning 18 to register so they may participate. Future meeting plans. Town Administrator Evan Broussard said that for future town meetings, the town would issue wristbands to voters in addition to the electronic voting clickers, so voters remain identifiable if devices fail. He said that the seating would include a non-voter section and that the presentation by the town would include some explanation of how town meeting works for those attendees who had never been to a town meeting before. Some folks were upset and didn't understand the procedure. That's a lesson learned for all of us, Broussard said. Broussard also said the town would review more carefully requests for the presentations that usually open town meeting. Those presentations, which took more than a half an hour, Select Vice Chair Colleen Roy said, had actually helped, giving stragglers a chance to register before the actual vote began, meant that the voting problems was discovered before the voting began, avoiding a potentially worse can of worms. Broussard said that town employees and officials had planned for a large meeting by setting up an overflow crowd in the cafeteria and borrowing extra electronic devices, up to 1,000, some from the town of Groton. He said that he had investigated the level of participation when override votes or other controversial issues had been on the warrant in the past, with the highest since 2014 being around 564 voters, though the two town meetings before that had exceeded that level, 755 in 2008 and 1,100 in 2010, which was a Saturday meeting. Planning for a meeting of 1,000 voters, Broussard said, would have necessitated using the school gym, and the accommodations necessary for that space would have cost far more for the technological services needed for that space, roughly around $10,000. Broussard said there could be ways to try to lower that cost. When more than 1,000 voters had registered on May 11th, sometime after the meeting had begun, but during the preliminary ceremonies, the electronic voting devices ran out, and the fire chief advised the meeting that the number of people in certain areas of the building was exceeding the safe and legal code. Behavioral responses raised concerns. The announcement by Anderson that the meeting would be adjourned elicited ire from meeting participants who were vocal in their disappointment. Select Board Member Anne Marie Foley had a deep concern about the behavior at the May 11th meeting. The level of, I guess, disrespect for officials that have been voted into office in addition to your neighbors, it was really disconcerting, Foley said. Foley said she observed several instances of heckling and commended Peter Adams for asking for a ballot vote to protect folks from such heckling and from possible intimidation from neighbors who disagreed. Foley challenged the moderator to push home the need for civil behavior during the meeting. That was the most disappointing part to me, in addition to the 300 voters who felt disenfranchised, Foley said. Select Board Member Craig Dofinus agreed with Foley. Dofinus said he believed that when Anderson first announced the adjournment, folks in the cafeteria area walked out of the meeting, not realizing a vote needed to be taken or that meeting wasn't over yet. He pointed out the difficulty of planning for a large town meeting when last fall's meeting included only about 80 voters. You can't win. I'm glad to see these contingencies in place, Select Board Chair Andrew Jefferson said. Broussard said the plans he brought forward were only the first draft and more discussions would be conducted and suggestions included in the plans, which will be discussed at future Select Board meetings. Our next article from the Grafton News, dated June 2, 2026, Otis Duvall receives Charlie Papazian Memorial Scholarship at Grafton High School. We are pleased to announce that this year's recipient for Grafton High's Charlie Papazian Memorial Scholarship 2026 is Otis Duvall. This award is given annually to the Grafton High School's graduating senior who best demonstrated outstanding academic achievement, athletic prowess, and leadership qualities throughout their high school career. Otis proudly graduated with a 4.3 GPA. In addition, he was a multi-sport player and team captain. Otis will be attending University of Connecticut this fall and will be majoring in engineering. He joins the past 12 previous award winners, and his name will proudly be displayed on a commemorative plaque at Grafton High School. Our next article comes from the June 5th, 2026 edition of the Community Advocate. Notoriously narrow Grafton Street to get $5.9 million makeover. Grafton residents, it's finally here. After a select board vote on May 26, George Hill Road is expected to get significant repairs totaling $5.9 million. A contract has been awarded to J.H. Lynch & Sons, Inc., and construction is set to get underway this summer, with the first pre-construction meeting scheduled for June. Much anticipated, everyone is looking forward to this update, said Select Board Chair Andy Jefferson. This is super exciting, and I'm not even someone who lives there and has had to deal with this road for decades. Excited to see this get underway. George Hill Road is a 2-mile scenic street that winds between Route 140 and Miriam Road. The road is in exceptionally poor condition with potholes, cracks, and limited drainage. Now a new stormwater drainage would be constructed. The new roadway will be 20 feet wide, an improvement over existing conditions. Work will also include areas of Soap Hill Road and Fay Mountain Road. Some trees may be removed, but we don't want to lose the rural character, Town Administrator Evan Broussard said in 2023. Repairs were expected to cost $7 million initially, but the project ran under budget. The funds were approved in 2023 at town meeting and via a town referendum. Our next article from the Community Advocate, dated June 5th, 2026. Who named their dog Squidward in Grafton? The town's unique dog names, popular breeds. There are 1,816 dogs throughout Grafton, according to the latest data from the town clerk's office. The Community Advocate looked at all publicly accessible information to determine the most popular breeds and names. Top breeds include Labrador Retriever, 103, Golden Retriever, 82, Golden Noodle, 41, Boston Terrier, 27, Boxer, 24, German Shepherd, 24. Top names, Luna with 20, Charlie, 19, Lucy, 19, Cooper, 18, Sadie, 16, Teddy, 16, and Buddy, 15. Following are some of the programs and activities at the Grafton Senior Center during the month of June. Please join us on Thursday, June 11th at 1 p.m. for a viewing of Remarkably Bright Creatures starring Sally Fields. Bring your snacks and join us. Then bingo time. Join us for bingo on the third Wednesday. In this case, it will be Wednesday, June 17th. Seating begins no earlier than 12:30. Cards are just $1 to $4 per game, and it's first come, first serve. So grab a seat and get ready to shout bingo. On Tuesday, June 18th, starting at 10 a.m., Breakfast with the Badge. Join Sergeant Spellman for an engaging discussion on important topics, current initiatives, and community collaboration. Don't miss this opportunity to connect, ask questions, and hear valuable insights firsthand. That is Breakfast with the Badge on Thursday, June 18th at 10 a.m. For more information and to register for this program, please call the Grafton Senior Center at 508-839-9242. On Thursday, June 25th, starting at 11:45 a.m., Cabaret Lunch. Come celebrate the music of Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet. Meals on Wheel Lunch will show following. Special desserts will be served. Once again, call the Senior Center for more details at 508-839-9242. Details as well as sign up for this program. The Senior Center will be offering free medical rides during the month of June. Contact the Senior Center at 508-839-9242 for more details. Information announcements are for the towns of Sutton and Millbury. We begin with an article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle dated June 2nd, 2026. Sutton Fourth chooses a Grand Marshal. When the Sutton 4th of July Parade Grand Marshal float appears, most folks in town will recognize the smiling face of April Brown, wearing a little something extra this year to mark her as this year's Grand Marshal. I feel very excited to wave and say thank you to the people because I'm very appreciative, but I also want to make sure that it really belongs to my whole team, Brown said. They're behind the scenes and they are working hard, and I take this one for the team. She's filling some important shoes from past Grand Marshals. Rudy Pearson in 2019, Mark Bailey in 2022, and Joyce Smith in 2024. In the past, the committee chose the Grand Marshal, but this year they decided to mix it up a bit and put it out on a social media post. They received nominations for 14 people, all of them, she said, very worthy. But once the votes were in and the committee cast their own, it was Brown herself who got the position. I'm very humbled, I'm honored, Brown said, and I'm a little bit embarrassed. Brown is quick to point out that all the work to get the Sutton 4th of July parade marching down Boston Road is the team effort. A large team, including Donna Libby, Pat Dunn, Tom Fournier, Ken Stewart, Mark Brown, Pam Ruscellow, Doug Matthews, Sin Steve, and May Riley, Michael Gagan, Liz Fuller, Vicky Bruce, Aaron Phillips, Daniel Wentz, and Sergeant Brian O'Rourke. Many of the committee have been there for quite some time. All have full-time jobs, but do a great deal of work to get the parade moving down Boston Road, including getting sponsors. The parade is a nonprofit that's reliant on sponsorship. It's a very dedicated and hardworking team, Brown said. Brown herself has been there helping to plan that parade from the very beginning in 2018. At that time, the town had its usual Memorial Day parade, but Brown and friends, Paul Dunn and John Rochelow, were reminiscing about the 4th of July parades of the past. We hadn't had a July 4th parade in decades, really, she said. So we were thinking, wow, wouldn't it be kind of fun to bring that back to Sutton? At first, she recalls they were picturing a small event, possibly a picnic on the common and maybe some cows and a few things going down the street in parade format. It didn't take long after the gathering of a committee for the idea to grow, as did the excitement. Brown recalls that the first year that they got the parade together, 2019, was one of the biggest years thus far. The committee closed the roads extending out from the center of town, and excited Suttonians gathered. kids riding their bikes down the street, bands playing all day long until it was time for the grand finale, the fireworks. "You're talking a giant block party," she said. "It was amazing. All the more amazing because just a short time before the parade was to begin, a hailstorm hit. And though the hail stopped before the festivities began, though the weather wasn't what you would call sunny, it did present a quandary for the committee. They now have a policy that the parade goes on, rain or shine. Only the fireworks have a rain date of July 11th this year. That first year set the format for future parades, but then 2020 hit. For a few years, we didn't have anything, of course," she said. "The next parade in 2022, a few things changed, like the schedule. The committee, which became the Sutton Fourth and a 501c3, decided to do the parade every 2 years. Planning for the next parade begins long before the bands start tuning up, starting in August, before, in fact, and this year's parade, the excitement and the planning have reached fever pitch. The committee hopes to make this as big as the first year or bigger to celebrate the country's 250th birthday. So far this year, parade already has nearly 60 entries, and the list is growing. That's beyond what they've ever had before," Brown says. "Usually about 50 entries, the parade will take the same route from the center of town to the schools, this year with a few historic twists. See Millbury Sun Chronicle preview coming in June 25th issue. It's going to be awesome," Brown said. "Sutton's Living Timeline 4th of July parade will take place, rain or shine, on Saturday, June 27th, beginning at the town common at 10 a.m., parading down Boston Road to the schools and ending at noon. From noon to 6 p.m., there will be entertainment at Sutton High School, along with food trucks and family activities. Fireworks will take place at dusk from the Sutton Common." Our next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, dated June 2nd, 2026, "Building Density Concerns Kill 40R Zoning Proposal in Sutton." A dual discussion of the adoption of a smart growth zoning district, 40R, and a potential development proposal that district, if adopted, proved contentious at the Sutton Select Board's May 19th meeting and found no favor with the Select Board. Community Development Director Jennifer Hager and Planning Board member Wesley Stanhope presented a potential 40R bylaw to the Select Board at a public hearing as the third step in developing a smart growth district. Smart growth is an initiative where higher density mixed-use housing in walkable neighborhoods near services can be built to help community offer a variety of housing. Related discussion of this newest proposal adds some urgency to the adoption after Hager was approached last fall by representatives of Galaxy, the company that owns the empty lots adjacent to Market 32 at Boston Road and Route 146, regarding building just such housing there. That general proposal, however, includes 300 units, a density that the Select Board members found surprising and uninviting. "This size and scope exceed what we've been thinking about," Select Board member James Intimarna said. "I worry about certain, let's call it, unforeseen implications of that size." Many others in the hearing agreed. Select Board member Norman Champagne and Christine Watkins also had doubts about the size. Watkins added concerns about the pressure that would be put on the intersection of Boston Post Road and Route 146, an intersection that's already challenging, according to a recent 146 corridor study, the 300-unit development would likely add more than 2,000 trips a day to the intersection. Watkins said. Watkins also pointed out that 100 units for any 40R district was what has been discussed throughout the process of updating the town's housing production plan, completed last year in regarding this zoning bylaw, though the bylaw itself does not specify 100 units as a limit. To Watkins' list of concerns, Stanhope and Hager had objections, but Hager summed up the decision being made as a simple choice between 40RN smart growth and 40B development on the site. Such 40B development are able to bypass many local regulations, mostly regarding density, if the development would supply 10% affordable housing units. Objections to such developments often center on density, building height, and location, as they bypass these zoning restrictions. Some 40B developments are considered hostile when developers make no preliminary agreements with town officials before submitting their applications to build density development. But 40B is only a threat in communities where the stock of what is considered affordable housing is below 10%, called a community subsidized housing inventory, or SHI, as is the case in Sutton. Efforts to rezone and enter what is called safe harbor, that is, having a defense against 40B developments, include having a plan to reach that 10% by adding gradually. The town's SHI would greatly enhanced by 300-unit housing development, which would have 20 to 25% affordable housing units, and thereby make the whole project, not just affordable units, count towards the town's SHI. Without progress towards 10% SHI, the threat of 40B developments hang over the town. Stanhope doubted that combination of having an on-file housing production plan, which was recently updated in Sutton, in addition to adding percentage of the town's affordable housing each year, would be feasible plan to keep the town making progress towards meeting HSI. Hager said just adding a few affordable housing units each year is very difficult. After 4 hours of discussion, much of it including members of the Housing Production Plan members, select board members declined to place a motion before the board to consider the bylaw, making it impossible for the proposal to continue to its next step, state approval of the plan. I see the sentiment here tonight. It's not worth spending any more time on, Stanhope said. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Artie Wensky. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more great programming from Audio Journal.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. This is Bill Ruggiero giving you the latest weather forecast for Monday, June 8th, 2026. Here's my latest forecast. For today, we'll have mostly sunny skies, very warm today, highs near 78 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear skies, low around 56 degrees. Now for your Tuesday, is called for mostly sunny skies, highs Tuesday near 81 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear skies, low around 66 degrees. And the outlook for Wednesday is calm for mostly sunny skies, warm and humid, highs on Wednesday near 89 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear skies, warm and humid, low around 72 degrees. And the outlook for Thursday is calm for warm and humid, with afternoon showers and thunderstorms likely, highs Thursday near 92 degrees. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for Monday, June 8th, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody, And please stay tuned for more programming coming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye, everybody.
When my dad started to lose his vision, we were worried. Sure, his doctor gave me and my mom some handouts, and I did my fair share of research. But we had no idea how much of a challenge vision loss would be or how it would impact his quality of life. That's why I was so glad we discovered Mass Commission for the Blind. They work with my dad, and they will work with you and your loved one as well to develop future plans and new skills and assistive technology. They even helped Dad get access to talking books and newspapers. He was so excited.
If your loved one is blind or visually impaired, find out if they are eligible to register for services. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.